Wednesday, July 2nd, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today, we continue our studies in the book of Romans, chapter 1, taking a look at verses 16 and 17 with part 1 of a message titled, God's Gospel of Power.
Gospel means, of course, boys and girls, good news, glad tidings. Good news. This was a concept that was promised throughout the Old Covenant. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publishes peace, that brings good tidings of good, that publishes salvation. I'm sending you preachers to publish peace to you, good news to you.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, I invite you to turn tonight to the book of Romans, as we're continuing in our study of Romans, and we come to the two very crucial verses in chapter 1 that summarize that the righteous shall live by faith. So we'll be looking at verses 16 and 17, page 1016 in your Bibles of Romans chapter 1. Let's give our attention to the holy word of the Lord. Two verses tonight, beginning at verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. May the Lord bless the hearing of his word tonight. Well, gospel ministry has always been a challenge. It has always been a challenge from the very beginning, often probably not for the reasons that we think about, but this is something that is highlighted here at the beginning of Romans. And the main challenge, really, that comes to preaching the gospel and ministering the gospel is the simple problem that pragmatism is one of our great challenges, you might say, especially in America, to ministering the Christian gospel. Pragmatism has always been a problem. You realize what pragmatism is. It is an approach to ministry that judges the truth by the success, looking at the success of it, how it's received, as the marker by which something is true or right. We have experienced much blessing from the Lord here at the Escondido URC. It has been overwhelming at times to see how the Lord has been so merciful to us and kind and compassionate to us and continues to advance the ministry. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for all the many families, the encouragements from this body. But how would you feel for a minute if the gospel ministry that you are receiving was actually having in this place frustrating results? What if people were leaving? What if people said, I really don't like the message? What if people said, this is just too much emphasis on sin? And how strong it is being ministered that calls people to repentance and faith. What if the church was actually emptying over the message itself? What if your children were not responding? And what if they were all saying, well, you know, the music over here and the programs are so much better, but this is just too requiring. Or you might put it like Jesus did in the Sermon on the Mount, as we've been looking at, this sermon's probing us too closely in our hearts, and we're not comfortable with that. We have been blessed to see hearts open to the truth of the gospel, but what if that were not the case? What would you begin to think? And how would you begin to, how would you respond to that? You may not be as nice to me. You would immediately think in your minds, something's wrong. Or there has to be something we can do to stop that kind of response. This has always been a perennial problem in the church. You can think of Isaiah's ministry when he said, send me, and the word came back to Isaiah. And remember what Isaiah was to be. He was to be a heralder of the gospel. If Isaiah said, send me. And the Lord said, go. Seeing they will not see. Hearing they will not hear. What if that were the decision for the ministry? We forget ministry cuts two ways. Truth cuts two ways. Ministry also can harden and soften. Here's why I raise this issue. Paul faced this all the time. Jesus gave many statements fulfilling Isaiah, the heart of this people has grown dull. And he said at one point, Paul said, in light of all these pressures due to pragmatism, he said, we have made a conscious choice in our ministry not to peddle the word of God. We are not, as so many, using the word in underhanded ways. But we have renounced disgraceful and underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. You hear the burden in that. You hear the pressure in that of the ministry to look at the results and to judge it that way. Pragmatism's a huge problem. And the relentless confidence that Paul had in the ministry is remarkable, so that at one point, I want you to think of this man at the end of his life, of how he described. Now, this is the great apostle Paul. It's a sad picture at one point toward the end of his life. He writes at the end of 2 Timothy, do your best to come quickly, for Demas, because he has loved the world, has deserted me. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Summarized so far, his great co-worker in the ministry abandoned him for loving the world. He doesn't even have a coat to put on. He has no books to read. And then he writes this, Alexander the coppersmith did me a great deal of harm. May the Lord repay him for what he's done. You too should be on guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support. Who is this? Everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. That is a hard road. That is a hard road in ministry to toe. And you think about the challenges then of what people were saying. If this were the ministry, and this is what they said of Paul, they were saying, all the super apostles of Paul, number one, look at him, he's weak. Number two, look at the success. He seems to have very little of it. And all the time in the guy's ministry, there is opposition, there is conflict, people are leaving, people are complaining, and he's got this thorn in the flesh. Why, if you're true, would God give his servant of this kind of note a thorn in the flesh? He's not legitimate. I raise all that to ask the question, what drove Paul? That's why I raise it. It's one answer. It's one answer that's right here tonight. He believed with all his heart that the gospel is God's power to save. Think about that. The gospel is God's power to save people. But there's a lot of pressure in this, especially in our environment, and we're going to look a little bit at that. But believing that, he gave his whole life to it. Believing that, he continued in it, even in the face of all the pressures to make this look better, to make this sound better, to make this feel better, to appease people. And that's really the heart of what he's helping them with tonight. He knew when he said at the very end of verse 15, so I'm eager to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome, that it's possible some were saying, really? He's not here. And they may have charged him of compromise in some way. But Paul set up from the front of this book the perspective that drove this ministry. He wanted to help this church understand the ministry and the provision that he knew and that he believed that the gospel was providing to people the most important thing that people need in this life. There's a lot of things you might say you need in this life. And Paul understood in all of the big picture, there's one thing you need above all. And it is the gospel. That is what he longed to bring. The Romans needed help in understanding what the heart of true Christianity is. The heart of the Christian faith. With so many pressures, you can just imagine of being a church in Rome. I could have spent a lot of time on that. I tried to give some of that. This was no easy place to minister. This is in the heart of the empire. Paul now provides the foundational statement to really flesh out now what the whole book is aiming to address, at least up until chapter 11. The heart of what he wants to address, he wants them to appreciate, he wants them to understand that even though all these terrible things have happened and these things have happened that discredit him as an apostle, why he is so determined to stay the course. And I think that's a huge message for us, an important message for us. In staying the course in something that's difficult to stay the course in. So that's where we begin tonight. We begin in verse 17, setting that up, looking at his intention here, where he makes this grand statement. You know this beautiful statement, and I've always said when we come to these really familiar statements, I think we've heard them so much that it's easy to not really sense the great, wonderful truth that's being communicated here. But listen again to verse 16, hopefully to hear it afresh. I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. It's important to understand, I believe, up front what he means by gospel, because there has been, even in this, so much misunderstanding of this. It's not like this was misunderstood by Paul. Paul knew the Old Testament well. He was a great scholar of the Old Testament and knew exactly the message he was bringing in fulfillment. Gospel means, of course, boys and girls, good news, glad tidings, good news. This was a concept that was promised throughout the Old Covenant. This was a herald that would run and bring good news. He'll later say in the book, blessed are those. Think about those who come and bring the gospel of peace, the feet of those who do that. The imagery is that runners are coming to you all the time. God is sending out runners in the earth. Who are running to bring you this. He's put it in their hearts that this would be the heart of their ministry to you. And he took it from Isaiah 50, maybe for one illustration. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publishes peace, that brings good tidings of good, that publishes salvation. Say that unto Zion. I'm sending you preachers to publish peace to you, good news to you. Your God reigns. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. That good news concerns his Son, he said, concerning the Son. Gospel is such an important word. Gospel is such an important concept for us. Used in the New Testament, sometimes in more broad ways throughout the Bible to speak of God's whole work for us in justification and sanctification. But for Paul, there was always a matter when he spoke of gospel as something being of first importance. You take 1 Corinthians 15. I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved. You hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Notice that. We have to hold firmly to this gospel, this message. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. Here it is. Here's the gospel. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Paul says that's first importance here. This is the good news that concerns of all that Jesus began to do and to say for us. This is why Jesus came to this earth. This is what Christianity 101 is all about. Now, I will address this in a moment more precisely, but Paul up front is saying, my great goal with you is to preach this. My great goal is to deliver this to you. That's why I want to come to you, Romans. To preach to you, that's the end again of verse 15. I'm eager to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. I want to come. I want to preach the person and the work of Jesus Christ for you, outside of you, on your behalf. I want you to know what's been done for you to save you from all your sins. But what does he begin tonight to raise that is the great challenge for this ministry? That is the great problem facing the gospel ministry. That's, I think, the question that's important that's driving this. It is this. He had to say up front, I'm not ashamed of this. Why this? Why would he even raise that to begin this great epistle proper? Because everywhere Paul went doing this faithfully, all he faced was opposition. When the pagans heard the Christian message, they branded it as atheism. They think of the pagan world at that time. They heard the Christian message and they said, that is total atheism. The Jews absolutely loathed the message of the gospel because what they said is the whole thing abolishes the law and will make you an antinomian. Everywhere the apostles were accused, bringing this message, of disturbing the peace. Even more important is to think about the message itself in Roman culture. You're running around preaching that your God did what? Died on a cross? That's the claim that you claim Jesus is, right? You're saying he's your God. You worship him. Who's ever believed that about their God? And you claim he's all powerful and you claim he's almighty. He was subject to the filthy hands of sinners. He was beaten. He was pummeled. He was spit in the face. He was put a robe of mockery was put on him. He was crucified. And then he received the most accursed death, not only of Old Testament law, but of Roman law. Explain that. Out of the gates, think of the great challenge of bringing this message into the world. Even to explain it so that people will understand it, that's not easy. How many people want to sit down first and consider? They have a great problem with what we considered tonight. You are absolutely fallen. All the desires and thoughts of your hearts are corrupt, and you need to be delivered. They branded it as stupid and foolish, the whole message. Paul would say this over and over. Yeah, we know that. We know that because God chose it to be foolishness to the world. And they said, who wants a God like that? Gods are celebrated for strength. Gods are made of marble. You can still see the Roman gods carved in marble after they died. And look at them. They're chiseled. They're powerful. You see what we're up against. Then comes this message that takes everything away from us, that says that we're totally depraved and that we do not, he's about to say, we do before this God nothing that's good that could merit eternal life. That we are sinful to the core. That we are deserving of divine judgment. That whole message is absolutely despised by human nature. There's a spiritual warfare surrounding this on top of all of this. The warfare on top of this Not only you think about our sinful nature that reacts against it, but it's Satan's chief assault in life. It's Satan's chief work to undermine and attack and assault the gospel, so much so that he fills churches with 2 Corinthians 11, all these false ministers who preach a different gospel. And Paul would have to come along and say, if anyone comes and preaches a different gospel than the one that you've received, let him be anathema, let him be accursed. So, you see the great challenge to this. When we're embarrassed about something, what do? When we're ashamed of something, what do? Well, we try to take away the offense. That's been the greatest hurt to the effectiveness of ministry, I think, in our times. We think that the more we downplay the offense of the gospel, the more we downplay it, the reality is, the more we corrupt it. The less we are clear on it, listen to this, the less we are clear on it, the more we muddy it up, the more it's accepted. The more it's received. This is why the Galatians turned away from it. The church in Galatia, they turned away from the message to something that said, what you do will please God. Your human works are enough to please God. That's what every other religion has said in the world. Or Corinth. Corinth tried to dress up the gospel. Corinth wanted show. Corinth wanted powerful speech. Corinth wanted something that would attract. I was just talking with a fellow pastor. It's really amazing what we ask you to do. We ask you to come and sit and listen to a message preached. Do you know how awkward this feels at times? You don't do this anywhere else in life. And I want to encourage you, because when I see you walk up to church on Sundays, you know, I don't want to give you all the credit here, because I know it's the Lord's Spirit who's done this, but it is a remarkable work of grace in your lives.
Well, that's all the time that we have for you today here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We're glad that you joined us. We hope to see you again next time for part two of this message in the book of Romans. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you.